Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel and the Opel Commercial Vehicles range. We have your van. Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
And I'm joined by Dara O'Brien, Minister for Housing, Local Government and Heritage. You're very welcome.
Thanks
for coming in. I know you were listening to colleague John McGuinness there. Well, you will have heard him saying it last night at the Parliamentary Party meeting. It'd be no surprise to you. But
he's
really upset with how Fianna Fáil are behaving in government. And one of the other things he said was that you're letting down the people who voted for Fianna Fáil.
I respectfully disagree with John. I suppose sometimes he's nothing but consistent. I've been in the Dáil since 2007 and, you know, John has always been a critical voice since that time, OK? And I think, look, it's important. We're a party that allows different views, and that's important too. You've mentioned earlier on, sometimes those different views end up out on the media. That's also fine. I disagree with John. I think if you look at the context of what this government is dealing with, we all know it, and your listeners know, we're dealing with a global pandemic and the state, that's not an easy thing to do. And I think in fairness, if we look, whilst not everything would have been perfect, this country is doing pretty well in that regard in managing this. With that, we've also brought forward the single biggest budget in the history of the state to support the jobs that have been affected, sectors like hospitality that you've been talking about, like our aviation sector, to get us to a stage where we will have our vaccine next year, where we can get back to normal. If we look at housing, which John has mentioned as well, my own department, we've the largest single budget investment for next year of over 5 billion in my department, 3.3 billion in housing alone. So there is a lot of things happening. We've a big capital plan to deliver. Yes, we've big challenges. But I think if we're being fair and looking at it honestly, that government are dealing with the biggest challenge that this state has faced probably in 100 years, a once in 100 year pandemic of this nature. We're trying to keep our people safe, trying to keep our businesses going as best as we can. And I think when you look at what's happening in Europe in particular and our nearest neighbour, I think by any measure, one would say that this country, because of what the people are doing and that the people have bought into it, supported by this government, we're doing well. And we have an end in sight now. And that's really important for people.
On the end, and the end being in sight. You know, we were talking earlier about this vacuum now that's going to exist between today and when we eventually find out what's going to happen on the 1st of December. And it's very difficult for people. It's very difficult for businesses. It's very difficult for individuals. It's very difficult for schools when we don't know what's going to happen at the end of level five.
I think we do know, firstly, in relation to schools, these restrictions on level five are different than the ones in March. Take my own sector. Construction stayed open. All ancillary services on construction. That's about 200,000 people. Childcare stayed open. And we got our schools back open. And that's something I discussed on your show here before. That was really significant. And schools have got back and they've got back safely and our kids are back being educated and our teachers are doing a great job. So it's different than what it was in May. I don't agree that there's a vacuum. I think the Taoiseach has been really clear that we would.
The restaurants, the hotels,
yeah, I know, but what we're
the
going
pubs,
to do,
well, retail. Oh, nobody has any clear idea of what's going to happen. Now, I know they will, hopefully by the end of next week, but it's tense. People are anxious and we're going to have a week of speculation now. And I'm wondering, are you happy with that?
No, look, there'll always be speculation around what's going to happen as we exit. But what I was about to say was the Taoiseach has been really clear on this, that we will be publishing a plan next week about what way we're going to be exiting from level five. We obviously have to do that in the context of the public health advice. But at the end of the day, government will decide on what needs to be done. We need to do it safely. We can't give away the gains that we've made and that the people have made down to their sacrifices over the last few weeks. And yes, it's been really tough. I have friends of mine who are in the hospitality sector, who own businesses, who are working there. I have people I know who haven't worked since March, in the restaurant and pub trade. That is really, really tough. But what we're asking people to do is to stick with us on this. We do want to have a meaningful Christmas. Remember when we went into the level five restrictions, there was a whole load of criticism. Really difficult from some people who've been on your show already, you know, over the last week or two, criticising what government is doing, because we were the first in Europe to do it. But we did it for a reason, to try to suppress this virus, to get us to a stage where, as families and as friends, that we can have a meaningful Christmas.
Okay.
And then we're going to move on to actually planning to get the vaccine in. And we've established our high-level task force under Breen McGrath. That's already planning on the rollout of a vaccine to all our citizens. That's really important.
I don't know if you've considered what the INTO said to me there at the start about teachers being part of the first group who should be vaccinated.
I heard the interview. I think that's something that Breen McGrath, the medical expert, will make a decision on, and government at the end of the day, we'll look at the hierarchy. I think first and foremost, the INTO did say, and I'd agree with them, that our most vulnerable and our frontline workers, obviously our medical workers, our most vulnerable people more than likely first. But look, we've a lot of people on the frontline. We've teachers, we've bus drivers and train drivers. We've people who've been working right the way through it. What we want to make sure is that's planned. So when the vaccine, we've had good news on two of them in particular now, that when we get the vaccine, that at that stage already we'll have worked out what the hierarchy will be, what the rollout will
be. Okay, just before we move on to housing, I have one more question for you, and this is on the Seamus Wolfe situation. I put these comments from Dermot Ahern to John McGuinness. I think they're fascinating. From someone like him, former Justice Minister, long-serving TD, Fianna Fáil had pulled a fast one by filling the Supreme Court job with their own AG, and Micheál Martin should have smelled a rat. Now, is he right that you didn't...
You probably misquoted Dermot there a wee bit. You said Fianna Fáil pulled a fast one.
Fine Gael had pulled a fast one by filling the Supreme Court job with their own AG. Now, did you not have the stomach for a row at that moment in time when the government was just starting?
That wasn't the case. Look, I'm loath to comment too much on this, and there is a genuine issue with regard to judiciary and judicial appointments.
You all hide behind that.
Well, I'm not hiding behind it. I'm going to tell you now. We have a judicial appointments bill coming in. Does reform need to happen? Yes, it does. Okay, and that had been planned for some time. The reality of it is I sat at Cabinet. One name came forward. That person came through the jab process. That's the fact of it. Okay, we've now since found out there were others who showed interest in the role. That happens regularly, by the way. That is not something that is specific or unique to this scenario. It's being made seem like
but
it
should
is.
Should you have known about the other names? Do you feel, as a minister?
I think the Taoiseach has said that. Now, this is something discussed between the three leaders, that this goes back to March, apparently, earlier on this year, that, yeah, we would have rather know the other names, but, and that's been honest about it. But having said that, and I don't want to cast in any way any inferences or anyone to read into it, that a person came through the normal proper process. Let's be clear about that. And the former Attorney General did come through that process. That name was brought by the Minister for Justice to Cabinet, and Cabinet agreed it at the time. No one at the time, Claire, let's remember this, was calling into question the validity of that appointment. Okay, so let's, you know...
But you would rather have known the names of the other people who were interested. You've said that, and that's clear.
Yes, I have said that. Yeah. And I'm not the first one to say that. But let's also be clear, the process was followed correctly and properly. So there should be no ambiguity about that. It was.
A clear-the-air statement from the Minister for Justice would be a good thing to
do. The Minister made a statement already. The Minister went to the committee and she was right and she did that and I support her and what she's done. And I think everyone knows that having a debate that can descend into political charges and getting into the detail of a specific judicial appointment is not something that the Dáil.
So you don't think that should happen?
No, it shouldn't happen. Okay. And the Minister made a very... Can I say this? Yeah. Minister McEntee made a very clear statement at the Justice Committee. Okay, so this is not something that we need to sensation. I'm not saying you are, but that needs to be sensationalized.
We know a lot of the opposition feel that that's not enough. You know, they're united on that.
Well, I would ask the question... Yes, I know that, okay? But I would also ask the question about some of the opposition and their motivations in that regard. Okay. I think they need to answer
Let's talk about housing.
Yes.
Because on Monday night, there was a big decision taken by Dublin City Council when they rejected this plan to build over 850 homes on the Oscar Traynor site in Santry. What was your reaction to that?
Yeah, firstly, it's the council's decision themselves, so I respect that. Okay, I want houses built, so obviously anything that slows down building on sites like Oscar Traynor is a really significant...
Slows down by 8 years, according to the head of housing?
I hope it won't, and I'll try to make sure that it won't. I've walked that site, actually. I walked the site only about 18 months ago with Deputy Paul McAuliffe and others. It is a really important site. Oscar Traynor and the whole development around it, and I think lessons will need to be learned from it, go back to about 2014 in Dublin City Council. Actually, 2016, their Housing Policy Committee, you know, voted to move this forward to the next stage. What was rejected earlier in the week was actually the disposal of the lands, not the development per se itself, the manner in which the disposal was made. I've asked DCC, Dublin City Council, for a report, which I'll have next week. My department already, and this predated me as taking over, were already significantly funding this development by way of paying for the social houses, over 250, 9 million towards the affordable housing as well. So, you know, lessons need to be learned very quickly in relation to Oscar Traynor. I will be looking at the report. I'm not going to delay in it. I'll be engaging with the City Council and I'll be looking at what I need to do or what I can do reasonably to assist and deliver here. I think people and your listeners will expect local authorities across the country and their local authority members and councillors, they have a role and a responsibility to deliver housing on the ground. Those powers are devolved as well.
Yeah.
I'll support them financially.
It's an ideological debate though, yeah, isn't it, about having private developers involved for profit?
It is. And I think actually I was somewhat taken aback by the glee of some on the left and in Sinn Féin that they took and their response to the defeat of this proposal and the vote outright. I think there was a sensible proposal put forward by...
Well, they say it's simply bad value for money.
Look, I think two things. Shangana Castle, which is at long last going ahead and Dunleary Rathdown, which is nearly 600 homes, was delayed by Sinn Féin for a number of years too because of ideological debates. At the end of the day, someone's got to build the homes. We need value for money for the taxpayer. Absolutely. Getting back to the particular situation here, we've earned real opportunity to deliver on a significant site good, affordable and social homes, and that's what I want to do. So I'm going to assist in doing that.
Yeah.
Okay, we have a big capital programme for next year, but let's be straight. The Department of Housing can't build out every housing development all across the country. Okay, I have a plan next year to deliver just under 13,000 public homes, 9,500 of which built, okay, and built by our local authorities and approved housing bodies, and a small amount leased and an even smaller amount acquired, about 800. But that'll be the single biggest delivery of public housing in the history of the state, and we will do that. But what we really need to do though is to ensure that we're using public land appropriately, and land that is actually not being put to productive use for housing. And some local authorities are doing that well. My own local authority of Fingal have been doing well. Others, I was in Donegal over the summer, some great work going on there. So I think I'd ask members as well in local authorities to step back and just have a look at this. Let's not, get into party political rows that are going to delay in delivery of housing, because not everyone compromise will be required on many of these sites. Okay.
Yeah, I suppose that when you're looking at the value for money side of this, your own department's figures show us that local authorities can build houses for half the price of private developers in some cases.
In some cases, and not quite half the price, and that's because we own the land, okay, and there's no land price, so there's no secret in that, and there's no development levies. So that's why I have, as Minister for Housing, in this budget, that we have really, looked specifically, and we're turning the emphasis on actually building with local authorities. But we also will be building what is classed these turnkey developments that are in this. I was in one yesterday in Clondalkin, 83 homes, and that's public houses on private land. So turnkey, which some use as a bad word, actually ground up turnkey are not. What they are is delivering public homes on private land, like in Clondalkin yesterday. Our approved housing bodies are actually going to be a big piece of delivering on our public housing provision. What I would say as well, though, is one of the things we need to move forward as well with our affordable rental, looking at affordable housing for working people as well. So we've big challenges there, but we're making progress in a short space of time. And what I'd say finally on that, I've changed already to allow our local authorities build themselves the single stage approval process. This is the thing, the four stages between the custom house, my own department and the local authorities. I've raised that cap up to 6 million. So a lot of public housing developments that local authorities can deliver, they have nearly the full autonomy to do it.
Okay.
With just oversight from us. People want houses built. They want to see us driving down homelessness and getting people into permanent, safe and secure housing. I want that too.
Not at any cost, though.
No, but not, of course, no one's saying not at any cost. But Oscar Traynor, I'd say respectfully, wasn't either at any cost. Can things be improved with that proposal? I think so. And I'm going to engage in a positive way on that to see can we improve that.
So that 8-year delay, that's not conscionable for you?
Absolutely not. Okay. And what I'd say to you as well is we've one other tool in our armoury there, which is the Land Development Agency, where I'm very close to producing the legislation on that. I think they have a big role in delivering on state own land, and they will. And
they were involved in the Shangana development.
Yeah, they're doing.
That you
mentioned. But Shangana, there are 14 different meetings between the LDA and the local authority members there. Okay, so really,
but it worked. It
eventually. And it's working eventually, okay? But I don't think we can have, if you go back to Oscar Traynor and you look at Shangana, that these had their genesis going back to 2014, some even well before that. We're looking at some sites that are going back 20, 30 years. That can't happen anymore, okay? So I'm looking at changes that we'll make in that area to make that easier and to ensure it doesn't.
I want to ask you about eviction bans, yes. Because if we're looking now, until we get this vaccine, whenever that will be, at rolling lockdowns, which we may well be, will you reconsider your position on eviction bans? Because we know Focus Ireland said that that they should kick in at level four when people are told not to mix in other houses?
Yeah, I said Focus Ireland are part of my housing and homeless task force, and they do a great job there with others like DePaul and Peter McVerry Trust and Simon. I actually said that when I brought the first piece of rental protections in July this year, okay, which is the self-certification that people can declare and seek protection against eviction up till January next year. That has worked, okay, and people are accessing that. Sinn Féin and others voted against it. That's fine. It's in place. I did say at the time if we needed to do more, we would. So what I did just a few short weeks ago was bring forward another rent protection bill, which means that there is a blanket eviction ban once we enter into movement restrictions of 5K, which we've done, okay? And that is in place right now.
That's level five,
yeah. But what I am doing, I'm right now engaging with my own staff and with the Attorney General to see, is there more that we need to do into next year? I've been good to my word on this, if I could say. I said when I brought in, we had the blanket eviction ban on public health grounds that wasn't sustainable legally. It simply wasn't, okay? Others argued and shouted from the sidelines, said that we needed to do it. It wouldn't have stood up. So okay. I brought it into primary legislative footing. I brought another act in, and I'm working on other measures should we need to. We need to make sure that sectors who are most affected by the pandemic and who are most vulnerable to evictions are protected, okay. And we're going to do that.
Minister, thank you very much for coming in. Minister Dara O'Brien.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.